saved us, redeemed us, and now sends us. And thank you, Father, as we go to your word, that you speak to us and you challenge us, you build us up, and then you work through your providential purposes and plans. Thank you for this wonderful church, this meeting here this morning, and then those who will come later in the second service. And may you keep blessing and bringing about your will in their lives. And today, speak to us in whatever you would want us to respond to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray this. Amen. You may have a seat. Thank you. Thank you for this great worship. Thank you, Daniel, for leading us this morning. And it's my joy to be with you as we worship, as we share today. I am not Pastor Russell, those of you who come every week. But it is my joy to share here today. My name is Emmanuel Roque. I work with and minister in Florida Baptist Convention, which is a network of churches all across Florida, which this church is a part of as well. And as Pastor Russell and his family are away on much needed, important family time, I thank God for his life. I thank God for Pastor Ying and the work of this church and its leadership across years. As I shared with Sister Nina a little bit throughout the week, we were kind of connecting the history of a church like this that many decades ago started east of here in another part of town. And I remember as a child going to that place where they first met. And they used to do discipleship trainings of all churches in different languages. And that was years ago. That was a long time ago. But how God is faithful to work through in each generation. Because years later God brought me back into town after being in Texas for a while. And brought me back to a home church that I never imagined, where I actually grew up to be a pastor. And part of the challenge there was with a first-generation Hispanic church in town, one that had started back in the late 60s, to help them see the mission field of a city beyond just what they had done up to then. And then becoming a multicultural, multi-language church, as you have done, for all generations and for more people. And God blessed and God helped in church planning and in doing that in that part of town, and God is doing that. So we thank God for this church as you reach all generations for Christ, and as you work, and as you are a part of it, praying and raising future leadership. So continue in God's work as you do that. I want to share today and walk you through a sermon referring to God's faithfulness, and referring to how God, in his calling upon your life and mine, will work through all things because God is faithful. There's a verse in Isaiah 26:5 that says, "You will keep in perfect peace he whose mind dwells on you." If you and I look to the news every day, and as we are involved in wonderful internet, you can't get away from it, sometimes too much information, but you will see a world that is not in peace. You will see a world who, even though it's been through pandemic, shut down for over a year, and now all the energy and people trying to figure out how we move on, you will see a world that, not just in this season or history, but a world apart from God who struggles, who is in great challenges, who is in great pains, who continually, no matter what generation and what events happen over history, cannot find peace, because that is only found in God through Jesus Christ. And so therefore, through it all, what we want to remind the church today is we have been called to be at peace with God so that we bear the message through all times that there's a God who loves us in Jesus Christ and brings us close to him, as this wonderful worship just expressed. And as people look, you know, I went and walked, tried to get out outdoors some, and then something which I don't do very often, and I don't enjoy malls. When my wife and I were first getting to know each other, the first thing I wanted to make sure that she did not live in malls. You understand, right? Not that she lived in malls, but she didn't hang out. That wasn't my thing. But a couple of weeks ago, we said, let's go out, took our elderly mom out, went to walk over there at Sawgrass, and boy, there's a lot of people trying to get out. As I go around the state, I was in Central Florida this last weekend. It is packed because there's vent-up desire to get out, to do something, to beyond the pandemic, get back to normal. But as I go around to churches, the one place that people resist getting out to is church. Isn't that interesting? And as I met with a leadership of an island nation not too far from here, from Cuba, they have not been able to get back to church buildings for a year and a half. The government does not allow them to have church service, but they're desperate to go back to their buildings, even though buildings does not define the gospel, obviously. And the greatest revivals that God worked in that island, as in Asian countries at many times, is when the church got out of the buildings, but was the church, sharing the gospel, taking the message. And that is what you and I are still about today. And we want the church to gather, but we want the church to go. And today I want to remind us that as the world desires to get back to normal, the church can't get back to normal. The world's going to get back to aspirations, ambitions, more of the same. The church needs to get back to in our lives, not more of the same, but more of God and more of what He can do in renewing and reviving us. It was years ago where I contrasted and read and kind of observed two men who are some or have been some of the most famous up to now in riches and achievements. Bill Gates, I remember in the year 2000 hearing him do a speech of reaching and always being connected, and there was no iPhone. Obviously, he is Microsoft, but there was no connectedness back then in the way. And he said, we're going to be connected everywhere we go. You'll have access to anything you need all the time. And I thought, well, that's a pretty interesting idea. Well, yes, when it's for good, but sometimes that connectedness enslaves people, and we can't get away from it. That was his vision. Billions and billions of dollars given away to foundations. I don't know what happens now with the divorce and all that, but billions given away. And those may be good causes, but that's not going to change the world, because that doesn't change the heart of mankind. Only the gospel does that. So you and I have the riches of Christ. Contrasted to that was a man called Steve Jobs, who, yes, did wonderful. Now I can pull out an iPhone or an iPad. And yes, did incredible things in new inventions and technology. But as much as he had all those billions and aspired and was driven and created an incredible movement of those who love Apple, before he died, his $1 billion yacht sat there being made in California. And I'm not sure what happened to it, but he did not get to enjoy it. Because billions cannot buy, not just health, not just peace, definitely can't buy eternal life. The only thing that transforms people and will change the world is a firm hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which then takes us to make a difference in the world through that motivation, through sharing. We gather to be edified, to be reminded of His word. But when we leave here, we say, now is where we live the Christian life. God, what do you want me to live this week? And whether it's a year of pandemic change, whether it's a year of difficulty, or whether it's a bright and beautiful day, what makes us secure is God's faithfulness, that Jesus is still seated on His throne, and Jesus is still working through His church and through your life if you're a believer. And until He comes back, He's going to continue expanding that gospel and kingdom to all nations and all people. And that's why you and I are in a city called Miami, where hundreds of expressions of culture, of language, of all these things, and urban change and traffic and building up and all the things that happen in a city and in a state and in a nation and beyond. But you and I are here because God brings that world in a place like this so we can shine for Jesus. I want to read Psalm 46 today. Psalm 46, in the middle of the Psalms, is one of those Psalms that the psalmist, in the middle of his upheaval and his challenges and his battles, and even as the city of Jerusalem was constantly threatened, he reminded himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, his security was in that faithful God, both inside the walls of Jerusalem, but as God advanced his cause outside of those walls. This is what Psalm 46 says, whether you follow along on the screen or in your Bible. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Salah, or rest. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Now be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. What a beautiful psalm, a movement, a progression through nations and through events causing a lot of challenge and a lot of insecurity to ending up understanding that we can be still because God is always greatly at work. But that being still does not take us away from responding. And that's what the psalmist does in worship. That's what the psalmist does when he reminds himself who God is. And if I could title this message today, which is kind of blah and plain in a title, but it really summarizes everything you and I need to know, it would be two words: God is. That doesn't really attract much, but that's everything you and I need to know. God is. Because God is, we are who we are. Because God is, we have salvation. Because God is, everything you and I know about life and about eternity exists. Because God is, we can find the security of what this psalm expresses. And then we can say, God, because you are, now we have a purpose, we have a mission, and you are at work, and we want to be identified with you as our Lord and Savior. I want to give you three simple points this morning to remind you, because God is, what we can have and what we need and how we need to respond. First of all, delight. Meditate on the attributes and promises of God as we're reminded in a psalm like this who God is. And in the multitude of things swirling around your mind and mine at any given day, as we, in an information age, as I mentioned, have this just deluge of things that come our way, distractions, worries, the latest, the greatest, everything else, including problems and challenges, isn't it good to come back and say, because God is, and because God always will be, I can just focus before I fill my mind and my heart and my response on anything else, I can delight in who my God is. You know, as I drive around and as you drive around, there's a lot of distractions. And one of those signs on the highways or around town, besides guiding you, will remind you of two things. Do not text and drive. Distracted drivers cause accidents. And so, you know, we've learned to somewhat put it away. I think we have other things beyond texting that distract us now on our cars, on our screens, on everything else. But either way, the idea is there. And if you, as I, at some moment have been tempted and given into that temptation, you know that before you know it, in a few seconds, you're a little bit off on the lane, or before you know it, you may not admit it, but you're a little bit off in your response time, and then you quickly come back. But distracted drivers can cause serious accidents. There's another sign I see once in a while going around: don't drink and drive. Obviously, the perils of alcohol, the perils of being influenced, and how that causes effects on life. When you and I are distracted in the worries or in the ambitions, in the challenges or the things that propel or drive us, when we're distracted from who God is, we get into trouble. We begin getting out of the lane God has for us, out of His work, His will, His kingdom purposes. We end up maybe responding and coming back by God's grace and by His word, but if we keep that up, we can cause ourselves and others serious harm and damage. And if we're influenced and under the intoxication of what this world continually tries to show and prove and get us on board with, whatever's next, there's nothing new under the sun, every generation, but whatever it is that tries to influence and capture our hearts, our desires, our ambitions, our will, our focus, other than focusing on God and who He is and then what He has for us, we become influenced by things which will eventually consume us or hurt us or destroy us. And when the church falls prey to that, then even worse. Because then a gospel that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ comes into being or gets influenced to stray away from the mission and the person of Jesus. So today, remember who your God is. And before I tell you what He keeps doing and what He does in our life, we delight in what He reveals about Himself. It's those characteristics, it's those attributes of the glory of God as it's revealed. As we discover, as He reveals us through the Scripture, we say, thank you, God. And usually it's not in my moment of vacation. It's not in my moment of simplicity, even though those are good, quiet moments. As in the Bible, it's many times in those moments where God reveals who He is, where you say, God, help me. And God reminds you His faithfulness, or He's the one that's enough to meet your needs. Or as in many times in the Bible, He revealed parts of His name to His people. Where is God capturing your attention? Where is God wanting to remind you to delight in Him, that He is enough? The psalmist will say, God is our refuge. There is a quality of God. God is our strength. There's another quality. God is our ever-present help in trouble. And so here's a man and here's a people who are in battles, who are protecting themselves, who are constantly trying to fend off the enemy. And they have to build fortified walls. And they have to ensure safety and refuge and how they're going to not be invaded and taken away or destroyed. And these men of old and a warrior like David and others who are later inspired by God to write these psalms. Yes, they could write songs of battle. But the first thing he does in this psalm is write a song about God. Before we go to battle, we need to be with God. God is our refuge, our strength. You know, every few years, as you live in South Florida, you face hurricanes. We're in that season again. And the one thing you want to know, when we all faced Irma about 3 years ago, and as that looming Category 5 was there, kind of just swirling and staying in place, and those cones, when you see they come in your area, the one thing you want to know is the house I'm in, well, is this house secure enough? I mean, I do all I can, but is this construction, and are the blinds or are the things around me secure enough? I had neighbors who in that last one thought, no, they weren't gonna ride it out. They didn't trust the house. They didn't trust the upkeep of the house. It's an extended family with a 99, actually he turned 100 this year, 100-year-old man, and then his family living with him, and they got on a car and drove to Orlando back then during Irma. They got stuck in 9 hours of traffic on a turnpike. I think they got more rain in Orlando than we did down here because it swerved around and kind of hit up there in that area. And so our temptation is to respond, to react, unless in life, in the storms of life, we say, God is my refuge. There's no mountain greater than God. Mount Everest, 28,000 feet. There's no valley or ocean deeper than God. The Marianas Trench, 30,000 feet. The Creator left His fingerprint from the highest high to the lowest low on this planet. Scientists will keep searching for life everywhere. Yes, advance of science, sometimes to prove that we are not really alone or this is not so unique, but God, wherever we look, has left His fingerprint that He is everywhere. And I don't know where that everywhere is for you today. For some people, it's in the challenges of COVID and pandemics. For others, it's in family struggles. For others, it's in personal battles. For others, it's in temptations. Wherever your challenge is, there's no situation too high or no depth too low that God can't meet you, and God is not there with you, reminding you of His faithfulness. He is your refuge. Romans 8 will say this. In the midst of the Apostle Paul, who had religion but didn't have God, didn't have Jesus Christ, and a fiery, temperamental individual, but he turned it all over to Jesus Christ. It was all lost because now he had Jesus. And he came to this conclusion, who will separate me from the love? Who will separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? I'm sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, powers nor height nor depth, nothing at all in creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So next time the enemy tries to bring doubt to your mind, that you're not enough, that you can't make it happen, that somehow God, yeah, you may know He loves and forgives, but oh, this is beyond, and you're struggling with whatever happens in your heart and in your mind and in your soul. What this passage reminds me is that God is always faithful to fulfill His word. How great is our God? And when you're convinced of that greatness, when you say, yes, He is everything I need, then we have a firm foundation. We saw it here in Surfside, unfortunately, a foundation when people were at rest, but here it goes. No matter what those apartments cost, it cost them their life. There was not a firm foundation. But when you and I are in the refuge of God, no matter what shakes in this world, whether the mountains go to the sea, as the psalm says, or the earth quakes, thank you, God, that my life is built on you. It was in April 1521 where Martin Luther, that monk or that priest who had discovered salvation through Jesus Christ, and that he let go and cut all cords with tradition and said, Jesus and my faith in Him is enough. Where he was being persecuted and said, either renounce your declarations or we will kill you by the powers and the religion of his time. Where he had one opportunity, one opportunity to either renounce his faith or totally say, it's in your hands, God. There's nothing else I can do. And he went to that castle there in Germany, and he opened up his scripture saying, God, speak to me. And what opened was Psalm 46. And there God reminded him that in that castle, in that fortress, he would be his refuge. And when he went out to face persecution, or when he went out in this passion and in this drive that he now had for the gospel and for truth, God would be his fortress and would always be enough. And there, of course, that wonderful hymn, Mighty Fortress is Our God, was developed. And he was the one that worked in his life. I want to remind you today, God is always your fortress, your refuge. And if you face those storms and those challenges and those spiritual battles or other things that somehow make you worry of your future, God is enough. He is faithful. And so you and I can every day and should every day get our mind quickly back on him. Say, thank you, God, that you are my refuge. The psalm depends or finishes this first section on that rest, musical rest, Selah. But what the psalmist is doing is saying, yes, God, you're great and you're my refuge. In that I trust. And then he's quiet for a few moments there, musically, but I think in his heart. So today, maybe as you gather here in the quietness of this place, you can say, thank you, God, that no matter what happens out there this week, the rest of the year, or any time in my future, you are my refuge. You see, the city of Jerusalem and other cities had these walls. That was a refuge from whoever would invade. And in the second place, they had to not only delight in God, they had to depend on the strength of God. See, in the midst of stresses, God provides what we need. We learn to depend on his provision. Yes, they had the walls, but what if they locked themselves in that city? And yes, the army is out there, the invading army, and will basically wait it out till they either die of thirst or die of hunger or are too weak to battle. But what this psalm reminds us is in the city of God, where God had placed his people, yes, there was walls to protect, but there was springs of fresh water that they could depend on. They didn't have to go out there. They had the springs and the rivers that God had providentially provided and placed them in. And in this old city with walls who would protect them for a while, they couldn't last more than 7 days if water ran out. They would die of thirst. But this people could draw from these deep freshwater wells and survive internally the challenges inside in their own body and needs and thirst, but more than all, survive the battles that they would face. If a city had springs, it would outlast. It would renew. It would refresh. You and I have the spring of living water. You and I have the resources if we use it, if we come back to it, if we go to it. And there we have his word. And there we have Jesus. And there we have every day saying, Lord, thank you that I have your refuge, your protection, but thank you that as I choose to go to your word and be reminded, as I share with you, you will renew and refresh me. Social media will never give us that. The next movie will never give us that. The next whatever in entertainment will never give us that. The next thing the world offers will never give us that. In fact, the next thing the world offers, and that which the world always offers, usually depletes us and drains us. And so will you go back to your springs of living water? I remember with my son Andres when he was a child, he'd wake up on Saturday morning and watch back then the cartoons, and as commercials would come in, one day he woke me up, this was sometime in early May, and he said, Dad, I know what we need for Mom. I know, I saw it on the TV this morning. I don't know, he was 6 or 7 years old. There's a man selling a knife, the Jinsu knife. I'm not sure if that's still around. Jinsu knife, it cuts. Mom's going to love that set. We're going to order it for her. So I had to sit down and say, Andres, what a wonderful heart. Yes, we're going to get Mom something. But let me tell you something about commercials. Let me tell you something about what they try to do in promising many things. It doesn't quite work out that way when you bring it home. It doesn't cut through concrete. It doesn't cut through wood. It may be very good and tools are needed. But usually there's something that they overpromised and underdelivered. And I didn't go into those words with a 7-year-old, but I tried to lay the groundwork. Don't always believe everything that somebody tries to sell you. Don't always believe everything that somebody promises, but you can believe God and Jesus Christ. And so you and I have promises of God which do fulfill what he has. His strength, his encouragement, his peace, his security, salvation. No matter what happens around us, no matter what swirls, on Jesus Christ and his promises we stand. And in the stretches and heat of life, come back to it every day. You're here today, commendable, beautiful. And yes, we invite others to come back to church to share in these springs of living water with Jesus and his word. But don't wait till next Sunday. Tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, every day. Oh, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to hear from you, to be refreshed in you. And you will give me what I need. And every day you'll go refreshed. No matter what the heat is, and Miami can get pretty humid and hot. But no matter what the fires of life bring and the pressures, thank you, God, that you won't let me dehydrate spiritually. You will keep me with the springs of living water in you. And last of all, will you rest? You delight in God, you depend on what he provides, but you rest in him. And let me give you the contrast here, because in a besieged city or in a time of battle, the human instinct is, yes, we get ready. Yes, we wait for the moment and let's go out and do battle. And there was moments where God called them to battle. But he first called them to trust in his timing and his way, to rest in God no matter what happened. And in your distress and in mine, we can rest and de-stress in Jesus and his word. If God is, then I can truly rest. Psalm says there in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. That's so hard for me in today's society. And just for me at times where my mind is going and racing and thinking and wanting to plan ahead and work through things, which is good. I'm not telling you don't plan, don't think, don't use what God gives you. But that comes out of resting in him, out of hearing his voice. It's interesting to note that the Christian Standard Bible in some versions will say, stop fighting and know that I am God. Stop fighting. And it's there where we surrender. God, may your will be done and not mine. And in their terms, the stop fighting was stop fighting those inner turmoils and worries. And let me do the work ahead of you. Let me go before you. And many times in that Old Testament history, when they opened up the gates or maybe a couple men just went out to venture, they would somehow say, what happened here? 100,000 of an army fled because they heard noises out there and we didn't have to fight. God fought for us. Those are the miracles of the Old Testament. As the nations raged, the people of God could depend on God to battle for them. And so I don't know where you need to say, God, I need you to battle for me. I need to rest and let go and let God and say, your will be done and not mine. God will show you and God will give you the steps and in his will the moments to do what you need to do. But before you get there, God, I need you. He knows that already. He just puts us in positions where we have to say, God, what else am I going to do? And so in the midst of that, it's so beautiful to say, God, thank you. But even though I can't figure this out, even though I can't fix this, but thank you, Father, because you are faithful always. And you will work through all things for your honor and glory and for the good of those who love you so that Jesus Christ may be formed in us and Jesus Christ may work through us. Part of that secret is dying to ourselves. And the end of that, Romans 8, which I read to you earlier, nothing can separate us from God. There's a contrast there as well. As it's written, says verse 36 and 37, for your sake we're being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I sat there for much time, many years, and I don't get it. How does he go from being secure in God's love to saying we as sheep are slaughtered to saying we are more than conquerors and victorious? There's this contrast in language that doesn't make sense. But in God's order, it makes perfect sense. You see, when we surrender, when we die to ourselves, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, just as he gave himself up to the Father's will. See, that is our place of greatest strength. And yes, there is processes of brokenness, and there are processes of love, things which we say, oh Lord, what's happening? Those are some of the greatest times where God is digging a deeper foundation for the greater work that he does in us than through us. There's a lot of young people in here. God has beautiful purposes and plans for your life. But never be afraid. Never doubt. Never let yourself go to reaction away from God when you don't understand God's timings and God's ways sometimes. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. And let Him dig deep. And let Him renew the hearts and put the heart and the will of Jesus in your life. And through that, let God then do the battles. And let God in His time and His ways and in His providence fulfill His purposes for you every day. And as God works and as God does His will and as God shapes us for what He has, then we can say, thank you, Lord. And if you look at the end of this psalm, you'll see that part of the expression is that it wasn't just about them. I'm not sure the psalmist, as he wrote this, understood it fully. But really, God was setting them up and Jerusalem up for prophecy. Eventually, Jesus would come into this holy city and say, one greater than the temple and one greater than the city is here. And Jesus, the Savior for all nations, would live and talk and die there and be buried there and be resurrected. Not just for them, but for you and me here in a place called Miami, Florida. And out of our backgrounds of nationalities and ethnicities from so many places, God was doing a work which the psalmist couldn't have imagined. Even inspired by the Holy Spirit, but in his human mind, he couldn't imagine how God would be a refuge of strength and God would work His glory into all nations. And here is Chinese Baptist Church, and here is future generations, and here are you. You and I can't imagine why God in this time in history has brought us to a place called Miami, Florida. And what God is doing to touch the nations. And part of that is, yes, hundreds of people groups and languages and people all around us here, which God will use you to influence and to shine brightly for and to share the gospel. But beyond us, only God knows how in your life He will move you on to touch nations. Through missions, through gospel sharing, through this generation. I shared back in June with a group, a network, as we gather as Florida Baptists and Southern Baptists in our yearly meeting in Nashville. And there was representations of around the table of about 30 different ethnic leaders from around the nation. Asian people groups in the United States. Multi-generation or 1.5 generation trying to say, what's our place together with others? And how do we advance the gospel and church planting and discipleship in this nation? And how do we touch back our nations and the world? And the excitement of saying, God, thank you, that together, not only are we better, together we will share the gospel. So what you're doing here is very important for not just a nation, but the nations for the glory of Jesus Christ. So wouldn't it be wonderful to see in a city with so much transition, and yes, people come for vacation, for urban life, for buildings, for things, but you and I endure the traffic and we endure this and all the things which we may not like, but God has us here so that out of a place which really people can't explain, how can people come together and how do we work beyond these challenges? Well, we can show the how. And the how is not a pragmatic sociological phenomena. The how is Jesus Christ gathering us to live for Him and to take the gospel. So will you trust in God's faithfulness? Today, delight in who He is. Will you depend in your life on whatever it is He wants to do in renewing and transforming eternally out of His springs and depths of water? And will you say, God, I rest in You. And I want to move when You tell me to move, and I want to obey, and I want to follow for the Great Commission. But Lord, go before me. I don't want to get ahead of You. I don't want to get behind You. Go before me and be glorified in Jesus Christ. Let's pray this morning. And I'm not sure where God may have reminded you, challenged you, worked in your heart. But I would ask you, in your own personal need, will you stop, rest, and be reminded that God is enough. And God today is there. He knows exactly what's going on in your heart, your mind, your challenges. And He's enough to, yes, protect, to, yes, provide, to, yes, be a refuge, a strength. But all that to renew you, to then say, God, here am I. Do Your will in me. I delight in You. I depend on You. Now, God, use me. And however You want to fulfill Your will in days ahead and in my life and in a church's life, and however He calls you to respond, say, here am I, God. Thank You Thank you. And my life is yours. And if you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord today, confess your sins, the Bible says. Lord, I realize somehow I need you. I'm separated from you because of my human condition, my own choices. And I ask you to forgive my sins. I confess Jesus as my Savior. I believe in my heart. I confess him with my mouth. And Jesus, I don't want to have any doubt. And if you do that, the Bible says you will be saved. And if you're already a believer, then you follow in baptism, obeying, and you follow in obeying and living his word and whatever he asks you to do. And God is faithful to fulfill his will and do great things above what you and I can ask, imagine, believe, come up with. Trust God, because God will be faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your work. As we read a psalm, we see how you protected your people in the midst of them establishing themselves in this holy land, of them building walls, of them battling. But it was your hand guiding and leading them and protecting and providing and refreshing. And then also fulfilling your plan till Jesus came. And Jesus did come. And Jesus did die and resurrect. And we are here because of that gospel. But Jesus sent us out to the uttermost, farthest places of the world. And that's why we're here today. Your church, Chinese Baptist Church, and this multi-generation, second-generation group. And Father, we want to rest in you. And wherever somebody here needs to let go and trust and ask your faithfulness to work, may they know today you have brought them here to trust you, be it first time as Savior or as a believer, to trust you in their challenges of life, that you will be faithful. And then God, as we depend on you, will you go out and battle for us. Where the enemy tries to distract and destroy, thank you that you are greater. Give us the strength in Jesus and in your word and through your spirit. And then Lord, we want to follow. We want to obey. We want to fulfill the Great Commission. Use this generation. Use this group. Use this church. In this stage, in this season of a city and going back to the nations, wherever that may be, Lord, use us so that the gospel advances and Jesus' kingdom is established in human hearts and lives until he returns. And then call those out of groups like this to be ministers and missionaries in this city and also wherever you take us. We trust you for the rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.